Good morning and welcome. But I'm very excited. I'm excited because today is the first anniversary of my being pastor of this wonderful church called Wellspring Pentecostal Church in New Road, Welling, Kent, UK. And so if I'm grinning like a Cheshire cat, it's because I'm very happy. Happy to be here. Happy to be called by God. Happy to be alive. And happy to be in the presence of wonderful people. Yes, we do have a congregation looking at me this morning as well. But we welcome you this morning to this, our first live broadcast from Wellspring. Welcome to Wellspring TV. My name is Jim Patterson. I'm the pastor here. And we want you to interact with us, because one of the things we want to do is to pray for people who have a prayer need. You may be sick, you may have a problem, maybe in the marriage, maybe one of many problems. We want you to know that we care and we will pray for you, and we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that God hears and we believe that God answers prayer. And so we want you to interact with us. You can send us an email, and here is the email address. One day we will have it going across the bottom of the screen, but not today. And the email address is very easy to remember. It's live at wellspringtv.org. One more time. Email is live at wellspring.org. Wellspringtv. Don't forget the TV. Wellspringtv.org. And then also you can send us a text message. Oh yes, we're really getting there. One day we'll be on Twitter. And you'll be able to tweet. If you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, we will explain it another time. But these are some of the many ways in which people communicate with each other today. So our text number is 07, there it is on the screen, 47-368-4191. Again, 0747-368-4191. And now to our message this morning. So glad that you've joined us, and I pray that the connections will be good and that you'll be able to enjoy the service with us as we meet here in Wellspring. This morning, I want to share with you a message of hope, a message of help, and a message of encouragement. All of us need those things. We need hope, we need help, and we need encouragement. And I know so many people at the moment who are struggling with long-term illnesses, struggling with a difficult time in their life. In fact, for some right now is one of the most difficult times in their life. And maybe that is true for you, my friend, watching this broadcast right now. This may be a difficult time. Therefore, this message is for you. God has a message for you this morning. God has a message that can change your life for good and forever. So someone watching, this message may seem as if it's just for you, as if it's tailor-made for you. That's the work of God. I want to share with you the true story of a woman who the Bible says had suffered for 12 years with an incurable disease. Her story is told by Matthew, it's also told by Mark, and then it's told by Dr. Luke. I've chosen Mark's gospel for the setting of the story. It's Mark chapter 5, and it's verse 25. Mark 5 and verse 25. I'm reading from the New King James Version. You say, Jim, what's the best translation of the Bible? The King James Version, without a doubt. Someone bought me a King James Version, and it's been to Uganda when we were missionaries, and it's well taped together, and it's well marked inside, and so it's become a favorite Bible of mine. But King James Version is the best, most accurate version that there is, and there is no doubt about that. So when we begin to read, and I want you to be listening out for words beginning with D. That'll keep you awake, won't it? Not insinuating, of course, you're going to sleep. But I'm going to introduce 14 words that all begin with the letter D. Does that mean the message is going to be an hour or two or three long? No, definitely not. It will purely be a mention. And then when the broadcast is finished and the folks here have gone home and you're getting on with your life, perhaps you can stop for a moment and you can see if you remember all the D's. And if you don't, if you send me an email or a text message, I will make sure that we remind you of what they were. So, reading from Mark chapter 5 and beginning of verse 25, the Bible says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had a hemorrhage for 12 years. And she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but she rather grew worse." The first word beginning with the letter D is disease. This woman had a long-standing disease. The Bible says she had this hemorrhage. She had a flow of blood for 12 years. And the Bible says in Leviticus 17 and verse 11 that the life of the flesh is what? It's in the blood. So I saw that this lady, literally, her life was draining away. There's the second D. The first D is disease. The second is draining. Her life was draining away. The third D is at the beginning of the word duration. The Bible says this woman had suffered terribly for 12 long years. That's an awful long time. But it may be someone watching right now. You have suffered for many, many more years than 12. In fact, as you look at the Bible, there are some wonderful stories of people that Jesus healed. There was one lady had been bent over, unable to straighten up for 18 years. There was a man that Jesus discovered sitting by the pool of Bethesda. He had been unable to walk for 38 years. And then later on, the Bible talks about a man sitting outside the temple begging. And along came Peter and John. And the background to his story is that man had never walked for over 40 years. But immediately the power of Christ was released into their bodies. Immediately they were healed. And I want to say this morning, and we can't show you, not today, but behind me there's a text. And it's one of the best texts that could be on any wall of any church. It says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." That's a good place to say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I'm not just giving you historical stuff. No, the Jesus I'm speaking about is here. The Jesus I'm speaking about is with you right where you are, able to do the things he's always done in the past. Then on to the next D, and it's the word desire. This dear woman had a real heart desire to get well. If she hadn't had a desire, she would not have seen so many doctors and spent every single penny that she had in trying to get well. She had a desire, suffered many things, the Bible says. And I think if we put the scriptures up, we lose the broadcast. We don't. Okay, forgive me then. She had a desire so strong. Some of you listening right now, you've been ill. When you're ill, if you love life, which I do, you have a desire to get well. It's not nice to be in pain. It's not nice for people around you. You lose sleep. You sometimes have to take lots of tablets and lots of medicine and trips to the doctor and trips to the hospital and x-rays and blood tests and all sorts of investigations. It's really hard, especially for disabled people, if I can use that term. Or people who are elderly. Very, very difficult. I understand. I sympathize. And your heart's desire is to get well. I almost said at all costs. Well, In the UK, we don't pay unless you have private health service. You have the National Health Service, and we don't have to pay for that. We're very fortunate. I'm thinking of Uganda and the time we served there. Those people weren't fortunate. If they didn't have money to pay for the treatment, they died. That was so hard. So I think we're so blessed here. But moving right along, the Bible says this woman, she had a desire, a real strong desire to get well. Otherwise, she would not have gone from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor and spent all that she had. Verse 26, the Bible says this woman spent all that she had. So I see another D. I believe it's possible she was in debt, don't you? If she spent everything and she's still seeking a cure, most likely she would have got into debt. And then I see lots of D's, and I'm going to put them all together. Here's a woman suffering for 12 years. Here's a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. Her life is draining away. Here's a woman who's been to doctor after doctor after doctor. Here's a woman who spent all the money she's had. All the money she has. Don't you agree with me that this woman would have experienced disappointment? I think so. Don't you think she would have experienced discouragement? I think so. Don't you think she would maybe have had depression? I think so. Don't you think she might have had desperation? I think so. In verse 26, the Bible says, remind you again, the woman had suffered many things from many physicians. But look at this. The Bible says she was no better. And notice this. But rather, she grew worse. There's another D. Deterioration. Deterioration. I say with all the love in this Irish heart, someone watching right now, that could be your situation. You say, Jim, if there was ever a time when this woman's story was my story, it is right now. My friend, I bring you hope. I bring you hope because the Jesus that I have known since I was 18 years of age, friend, he is alive. He is the same. He loves you. And it doesn't matter what the doctors have said, I respect them. Oh, yes. Doesn't matter what anyone has said about your situation. Jesus can change all of that in a moment of time. And I pray that that will happen this morning in Jesus' name. So deterioration. She grew worse. Despite all the running to doctor after doctor, despite spending all her money, all she's left with is deterioration in her condition. And then suddenly, this woman was given hope. How did that come about? She was given hope when she heard about Jesus. My question is, who told her? And the reason I say that is this. All of us are in touch with people. May we never be ashamed of him. May we never be ashamed to mention his name. Amen. May we never be ashamed to tell people, whoever they are, family, friends, workmates, wherever we're with people, may we never be ashamed, may we never be afraid to tell people of this person called Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, who has saved us, who has transformed our lives, who has given us joy and peace and hope and a future. Excuse me, I'm sure everyone would say amen to that. Somebody told her, could have been a child, could have been a neighbor. But whoever told her, thank God for the person who told her. Amen? Thank God for the person who told her. I thank God in 1958 when a young man came into the bar where I stood in Aldershot, Hampshire in the UK. As a young soldier, tried to take my life because of the loss of my father and my fiancée. And I was going to attempt another attempt on my life. I was going to end it. This time I was going to succeed. I failed that time, but I was going to succeed this time. I was going to use my army rifle. But before I did, oh, thank God, he sent someone who told me about Jesus. He sent a paratrooper into the bar in Aldershot, and he told me the good news of the love of God. He told me about Jesus Christ. He offered to pray with me. And when we prayed, All I can say is that the words of the song that the Gaithers sing, you'll find them on the internet, they became true for me. And the song says, He touched me. Jesus touched me. And all the joy that filled my soul. Something happened and now I know. He touched me and He made me whole. And every trace of depression left. The grief that I was suffering from the loss of my father left. The grief that I was suffering from the loss of my fiancée, it left. And I was filled with joy. I was filled with hope. And I've never looked back from this that day to this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, He that has begun a good work in you, He'll complete it. Jesus didn't sort me out and say, right, Jim, you're on your own now. No, no, no. He's never left me for a single second. Hallelujah. And thank God for whoever it was told this woman about Jesus. And you, my friend, you have the power through your words, through your testimony. You have the power to change the life of someone for good forever if you'll only tell them about Jesus. Tell them the truth. The truth, the truth, the truth is what sets people free. Tell them the truth. And this woman was given hope when she heard about Jesus. And up to this time, Jesus had performed many miracles. I mean, you can look at, just read through the Gospels and you'll find them. I found a list of about 37 miracles that Jesus performed. When I say miracles, I suppose I should say periods of miracles, because often He would be ministering to a multitude. How many would that be? Thousands, perhaps. But Jesus had been ministering to people. He had been healing people. He had been delivering people. Some people had a problem with demons. Jesus delivered them. And you know something? Jesus even came along one day when a funeral procession was taking place. And Jesus stopped the procession. Jesus touched the coffin, and the young man in the coffin was the only son of a widow. He sat up. Jesus raised him to life. Hallelujah! That's the Jesus I represent this morning. That's the Jesus that makes me smile. That's the Jesus that gives me hope. That's the Jesus that I hope I have another 20, 30, 40 years to serve. Yes, I know I'll be old then, but that's okay. I can cope with that. How can you stop telling people about such a person as Jesus who can change lives for good forever? Nothing's too hard for Him. Nothing's impossible with Him. The things that are impossible with men, thank God, they are possible with Him. Possible with God. Remember, the things that are impossible, put the letter H there and you've got Him possible. Possible with Jesus. And everyone said, hallelujah, amen, or praise the Lord. Any of those will do. Now in verse 27, we read of another D. And this D is the word decision. We read that the woman made a decision that changed her life. Let me explain. The Bible says, when this woman heard about Jesus, when she heard about Jesus, she made the decision to go to Him. The Bible says she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. I have a vivid imagination. You know, as I think of the story, I can see her bending down. I can see her even kneeling down as she reaches out to touch the border, the hem of the garment of the Son of God. What a moment. Verse 28, the Bible tells us, the woman came to Jesus. Here's another D. She came to Jesus without a trace of doubt. You might be saying, Jim, I'm a Christian, and I've been sick for years, and I've had people pray for me. I've been to this meeting, that meeting. My elders in my church have prayed for me, but Jim, I'm still sick. Friend, it's just a loving question. Is there any doubt in your heart? Is there any doubt? You see, because I'm old enough to have met a lot of people in my life. I had a dear friend who was terminally ill with cancer. And I remember visiting him one day. I hadn't known him for years. And I really felt that I should be encouraging him to have faith in God. He was a lay preacher. He knew the word. And I knew that he was a great Christian, a godly man. And I was trying to encourage him to believe that Jesus was able to step into his situation, regardless of what the doctor said, and Jesus was able to come and to heal him. His wife immediately, quite harshly, quite sternly said, "Oh, he doesn't heal everybody." I watched my friend sink in his chair. Maybe, friend, in love, I say, that's happened to you. Well-meaning relatives, well-meaning neighbors, well-meaning friends may have dropped that little bombshell into your head, into your mind, and you're thinking, "Oh, it's true. So-and-so died, and so-and-so died, and so-and-so died. And what's happened to you?" You begin to give up. I say to you, don't give up. Why not? Because you're on the verge of a miracle. Don't give up. Never give up. It was Churchill who said, "Never give in. Never, never, never." Impersonation, terrible. But words, powerful. Never give in. What do they say? As long as there's life, there's... My friend, have hope. Have faith. Don't give in. Doctors may have said your case is hopeless. Jesus hasn't said that, because the Bible says when Jesus is in you, Christ in you, what is he? He's the hope of glory. You cannot be hopeless with Jesus inside of you. It's not possible. It just is not possible. So I say again, just to remind you, this D, this precious woman, she made the decision to reach out and touch Jesus. And there's not a trace of doubt in her heart. How do I know? I know because of what she said. You see, the Bible says it was Jesus who said, out of the abundance, out of what's in the heart, the mouth speaks. So you listen to this woman, and this is what she said. She said, "If only I can touch his clothes. If only I can touch his clothes." What did she say then? "I might get better." No. She said, "I shall be made well. If only." She heard about Jesus. She heard that other people had reached out and touched him. She heard about the dead being raised, the lepers being cleansed. She heard about the great multitude of Jesus taking equivalent of a boy's lunch and feeding about 15,000 people. You say 15, Jim? Yes, there was 5,000 men. Do you think they were all bachelors? There must have been some wives, don't you think? Some children? Another occasion, he fed 4,000 plus. Because that 4,000, I'm sure, weren't all bachelors or spinsters. There would have been some there with families. Jesus walked on water. Why not? He's the creator. He walked through walls. Why not? He's the creator. The molecules, they just separated while Jesus walked through. No problem. And you know something? The Bible says, one day we'll have a body like his. I'm looking forward to that. I'll never hear Ruth, my wife, saying again, "Have you got your keys?" Because I won't need them. It's exciting, isn't it? Don't you think it's exciting? I think it is. So she had heard about Jesus. And the things she heard about Jesus were the truth. And so she, that created faith in her heart. And so she comes to Jesus without a trace of doubt. And I repeat, I say I know there was no doubt because of what came out of her mouth, because what came out of her mouth was what was in her heart. She said, "If only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." Friend, that's the type of faith we need. That's the type of thing we should be saying. If only I can reach out and touch Jesus, I know I shall be made whole. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what the doctors say. Doesn't matter what the neighbors say. Doesn't matter what your husband says, your wife says, your children say, your aunts, your uncles, your grandchildren. Doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus and what he says. What matters is what the word of God says. Amen? I mean, if I am seriously sick any time, I do not want any of you coming from Wellspring and saying, well, you know, Pastor Jim, God doesn't heal everybody. You stay out of my room, please. But you come to me and say, Jim, let's believe with you for a miracle. Yes, if it's time for God to take you home, that's fine. But he hasn't told us yet that it's time to take you home. And until we hear it's time for him to take you home, we're going to pray. And that's how we should be. Amen? Amen? When God says, don't pray, I'm taking them home. Why waste your time and his? Let them go. Just say, well, Lord, I know where they're going to be. Because the Bible says the child of God, when they die, they fall asleep. And they fall asleep in Jesus. Do I believe in soul sleep? Not a bit of it. But the Bible terms death as falling asleep. And the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be where? To be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. So if you've lost precious loved ones who knew Jesus, you know where they are, don't you? They're with Jesus. And what about you? The Bible says one day there's going to be a great reunion. Jesus is coming back to the air, says the Bible. And the Bible says the dead in Christ, all our loved ones, all our precious friends and neighbors and people we loved and people we wept over, the Bible says they're going to be resurrected. All the graves are going to be open. What a sight. Pop, pop, pop. I wouldn't want to be an undertaker when that happens. I wouldn't want to be mowing the lawn in the cemetery when that happens, would you? Unless you're a believer, of course. But the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then, here's the good news. Then we who are alive and remain, what will happen to us? We'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. How about that? Isn't that wonderful? So those people that you miss, and gosh, the older we get, you wouldn't know about this yet, but I do. The older we get, the more precious loved ones that we have lost for a time. And we miss them. We love them. We miss them. God knows we miss them. But the good news is we will see them again. And the good news is they are not suffering anymore. No more pain. No more drips. No more transfusions. No more strokes, no more pain, no more operations, hallelujah. When we see them again, they'll have a new body. And we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Some men complain about how long it takes their wives to get ready. Well, when Jesus comes, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says we'll be changed, hallelujah. What a hope we have this morning. What a wonderful hope. Well, back to this message. Her faith proved what was happening in her heart and what she believed. I have a question. Was her faith rewarded? Was she made well when she touched the garment of Jesus? Verse 29, reading. The Bible says immediately. Mark, if you understand and if you read the Gospel of Mark, Mark loves this word immediately. Not next week, 2 months later, a year later, 2 years later, immediately. I'll be honest with you, that's the type of miracle I long to see, don't you? Immediately. You pray for someone, immediately. I've seen people through the years in wheelchairs. I've seen evangelists, God forgive them, and ministers. They drag these poor people out of the wheelchairs and they get the elders or helpers to come and they parade them up and they parade them down and they say, oh, look, look. But if they were to let go of that person, unless Jesus has healed them, there will be someone fall to the floor. And I think poor darling, they're putting her back in the wheelchair. They're putting them back in the wheelchair. No miracle has taken place. But I do believe that miracles do take place and can take place. And they can happen immediately. Oh, God, give us genuine miracles. Amen. I was speaking with my friend the other day and I was saying, you know, I read of a time when George Jeffries, who was a great evangelist in the Elam Pentecostal movement, and he, this is Assemblies of God Church, but for a time I was with the Elam, and George Jeffries went to the Colson Hall in Bristol. The place was packed. And people had heard that God was using him to bring healing to people. So what they did was, can you imagine, all along the center aisles, they placed people in wheelchairs. There was 15 people in wheelchairs. George Jeffries came in from the back room having prayed with the organizers of the meeting with his Bible by his side. And as he walked past, I'm telling you the truth before God this morning, as he walked past the people in the wheelchairs, every single person was thrown onto the floor. The people who brought them, you imagine they went, ah! They need not have worried because everyone got up. And at the end of the meeting, they pushed their wheelchair home. Hallelujah! That's the miracle I want to see. The genuine, like this word of God says, immediately. And I would say, in fairness, if not immediately, then soon and very soon. I believe some miracles, some healing is gradual. I understand that. But oh God, give us the immediate miracles too, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So you look at this verse. Immediately. Immediately, verse 29, immediately the fountain, the hemorrhage, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And notice, she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction or of the suffering. That's why when we pray for people, very often we will ask them, how do you feel now? If we ever do that to you, tell us the truth. If you say, well, I don't feel any better, tell us, we'll pray for you again. How do you feel now? Well, a little better. All right, let's pray again. How do you feel now? Well, better than it was before, but I still got a bit of a... Let's pray again. We're not in any hurry, are we? No. No. She felt in her body. I am praying sincerely that right now, people watching this broadcast, that if you are sick, I pray that you will reach out. I'm going to invite you to do that in a moment. Reach out in faith. I pray that as you do, you will experience the healing power of Jesus Christ. Go into your hands, down your arms, and into your body. And you will feel like this woman felt. You will feel that your body is different, is changed. The problem is gone. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm believing for that this morning, and I believe we'll hear testimonies to testify of that fact. But immediately, the Bible says, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. There I see the word deliverance. She was delivered. That can happen to you. You can be delivered from all this suffering, all this pain, all this anguish, this running to doctors, this running to consultants, listening to their bad news. My poor wife, Ruth, bless her, in August last year fell, fractured her femur. If that wasn't bad enough, you should have heard the doctors. Well, of course, the blood supply mightn't reach right up to the femoral head, and you could lose your leg. Thanks a bunch! As if she didn't have enough problems. You say, oh, Pastor Jim, of course they've got to cover themselves. Well, go and cover themselves in another room. Because we're people of God. We believe in miracles. We respect the doctors. There's doctors in our congregation. There's nurses in our congregation. I respect them. I'm not going to show you, but behind this tie, there's a scar that runs from there to there, where I had a triple bypass operation years ago. I believe it saved my life. I believe in doctors and nurses. Do I take any medication? Yes. Of course I do. No problem with that. But the thing is, my faith is in Jesus. I believe He's working through the medication. He's working through and because of the bypass. Hallelujah. So I'm not wiping out doctors, I'm not being disrespectful, but they come and they tell us these things. I remember another instance years ago. I was by the bedside of a dear relative of mine who had terminal cancer again. I had prayed with him to receive Jesus. And having asked Jesus into his life, you could tell he was optimistic. He was hopeful. Along came a lady doctor. I can see it like yesterday. White coat, stethoscope. And he said, "Oh, doctor," he said, I feel I'm getting better. I feel so much different. I will never forget it, she said. Mister, mentioning his name, "You are dying." I watched him change color. He turned gray. And that night, he died. I do believe that the Bible says there is the power of life and death in the words that are spoken. We have to be careful. You say, "I remember." Yes, I remember. Have I forgiven that doctor? Of course. Have I forgiven the lady who said to her husband, "Oh, he doesn't heal everybody"? Yes, I've forgiven her long ago. It's only for illustration purposes. Let me bring this to a close, because I want to pray with you. And I want to read maybe if there are text messages or emails that have come in. Look at the scene. Jesus is surrounded by a multitude. But when this woman touched him, the Bible says Jesus felt power or virtue leave his body. And he began asking, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" The disciples, they said, "Oh, Master, look at the crowd. Everybody is thronging you." Hold on to that word, thronging. Means surrounding you, jostling you. But listen. He said, not "who jostled me," but "who touched me." You see, the truth is that many people were around Jesus. And many people, the word was thronged. Many people were thronging him all around him, pushing, jostling. Ah, yes. Many people thronged him. But one woman touched him. My prayer is that you will be that woman this morning. You will be that man. You'll be that young person. Whatever your need is. 12 years of suffering. 12 years of running from doctor to doctor. Time when all her money was gone. The Bible says, in a moment, she was instantly healed. Now, let me share something with you. I believe that that miracle that she received may have inspired multitudes of people to also reach out and touch Jesus. And I get this from Mark chapter 6 and verse 56, where the Bible says, Mark 6:56, "Wherever Jesus entered into villages or cities or country," notice, "they laid the sick in the streets and they besought him, that they might touch, if it were, the border of his garment." And notice, "and as many as touched him," what does it say? "They were made whole." as many. Did they get the idea from this woman? I think they could have done. I reckon that healing was so dynamic, so wonderful. She told everybody. Everybody had to hear the story. And so when Jesus came into their neighborhood, they rushed the people that were sick in their family. They rushed them, laid them by the side of the road, and then asked the master, said, look, would you mind if my auntie, my uncle, my grandma, my granddad, my child, my cousin, whoever, would you mind if they just reach out and touch you? And Jesus never would have said no. In the final moments of this message, let me say this. A great message, not because I preached it, but it's the word of God. But it needs to be applied. It's like if you go to the doctor and he prescribes some tablets or something to drink. It won't do any good sitting on the shelf, will it? You have to take it. And so a message like this, whilst it's good and wonderful, and I'm sure you've been blessed and encouraged, if you are sick, if you have a real need in your life, you need to do something more. What do you need to do, you say, Jim? You need to reach out like this woman reached out. You need to reach out. Reach out to Jesus. Reach out to the one that the Bible says has a name that's what? Above every name. God has given to Jesus the name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. Hallelujah. And you know something else about the name of Jesus? It's the only name that can save you. Acts 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. No other name. Only the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said he's the way to God. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. Didn't say I am a way. He said I'm the way. I am the truth and I am the life. He said no man comes to the Father except through me. And then the Bible says Jesus, he's the only mediator between God and man. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:5, he said, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And finally, the text on the wall behind me, Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I'm going to invite you in the church here this morning and watching by means of the internet. I want you to do something. The more you listen week by week, God willing, you will discover I'm not a wacky, fanatical pastor. I don't do wacky. But I do believe there comes a moment when it's right to respond by some action. So as I prayed about this morning, as I prepared the message, I felt God saying to me, invite the people just to reach out their hands wherever they are. I'm not asking you to touch a screen. God bless the people who ask people to touch screens. God might ask me to do that one day. But if you're able to, would you put your hands out in front of you, like sort of this, as if you're reaching out, as if you're touching Jesus' garment. Would you do that if you're in need this morning, both here in the church and where you're watching? Do you need salvation? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Reach out now and ask him, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Forgive me for my sin. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. I confess my sin. I turn from my sin. I believe that you died for me, and I believe that you rose again from the dead, and I confess you as Lord. Save me. Save me. let me be a child of God from this moment on. Still keep reaching out. Do you need healing? Oh, may God help you to shut out every voice, the voice of the doctors, the voice of the professors, the voice of the consultant, the voice of the relatives. Shut them all out, switch them off, and hear the voice of Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And hear again the words of the woman who was healed in the Gospel of Mark. She said, I believe, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Will you say that in your heart now? I believe by reaching out and touching Jesus, I too will be made whole. I receive his healing power. Jesus, I receive your healing power right now. Thank you for making me whole. Do you need deliverance? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it some other substance? Is it depression? What is it? You need deliverance. Jesus is the great deliverer. Jesus said in John 8:31, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple, you're my follower, indeed. And you'll know the truth. Friend, the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus. He said, I'm the truth. And the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. So say it now, Lord Jesus, I reach out to you. Deliver me from drugs. Deliver me from alcoholism. Deliver me from nicotine. Deliver me from depression. Whatever it is you're grappling with, deliver me now. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.